Hey, what's up, guys? God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in here to Hope Ministries. I am your podcast host, Kenny. Excited to bring you yet another brand new episode. And today, I have the pleasure of bringing another special guest. But before I get into his introduction, I just want to send a message to everyone out there. If you're having a rough day or a good day, whatever it may be, I know God is working in you. I know he's with you in whatever endeavor you're going through. So if you're having a trial of patience, of faith, of financial or health, whatever it is, I just want to send you some encouragement and some hope from this podcast station. And so without further preamble and everything, I want to introduce my friend Frank, who I call him Frankie. I don't know why. I just feel like he's a Frankie more than a Frank. And he actually lives in Miami. He happens to be a close friend to my cousin James. And so, Frank, how about you tell us a little about yourself? Just give us a little background.
No, well, first of all, thanks for having me, man. I'm super excited to be in New York. I love this place, and hanging out with you and your family is always such a blast. Well, like you said, I'm from Miami. I was born and raised in the ministry. My mom is from Costa Rica. My dad is from Cuba. And I have an incredible little sister. Oh, plug. I have a YouTube channel. You guys can go check out. Plug. It's called A Frank Exchange. We actually just recorded a video for that.
It was amazing.
We ended up talking about all the funny and sometimes embarrassing moments that happens to us in church. So check that out. But other than that, yeah, that's pretty much me. That's what I'm working on, my YouTube channel. I'm working on a lot of different projects with the community around my neighborhood to help out people. And yeah.
That's awesome, bro.
Here I am.
Yeah, it was pretty cool actually recording that whole YouTube channel. It was pretty fun doing that. And again, guys, if you guys didn't capture that, it's a Frank Exchange or a Frank Exchange on YouTube. It is hysterical. He has a lot of funny moments on there. I'm going to be on there, too. So check that out. It was a pretty cool episode I recorded with my cousin Matthew. You guys know him as the CEO of 70x7. And of course, here, Frank, a good friend of mine. It's been pretty cool, actually, because since I met Frank, it's been something really, I guess you could use the word Frank, something really transparent, you know, and it was. I won't lie to you, it was kind of weird because when we first met, there was a click. Like, obviously, it was kind of like the first day, it was kind of like we had to feel each other out kind of thing, like a boxing match. But then after, I think the third day when I met him, that we spoke, we sat down in my uncle's living room, and he just released everything on me. And I won't lie to you, I went home that day, and I'm just like, Lord, if you prepared me for this, and you're going to help me coach me through this, you know? So it was kind of crazy, but like, you know, you remember that day, Frank?
No, I do. When I first met you, of course, you know, I thought you were really nice and really funny, but there was something about our conversation at the end of the night where we just shared our testimony and what we went through. And then I've never done this before where I share my full testimony with someone, everything that's happened to me from the beginning of, you know, my life. And I just felt so comfortable with Kenny. But I really do believe that that was something God led to make that connection with you. You know, I do believe that God will connect us for other things in the future. I mean, I never thought the first time I met you that we would be here, that I would be staying at your house, recording videos with you, recording things for your podcast. And that's just God, man, you know, making connections. And... But yes, yeah.
I feel the same way. I feel like that conversation was 100% spirit-led.
Yeah.
Like, even if, like, it's funny because, like, again, I was still learning a lot about myself and who I was in the ministry and, you know, trying to just, like, just not reject but just put the whole, like, PK pastor's kid on the shelf for a second and just be human, you know, listen to stories and testimonies. And while you were speaking, it was just cool. God was kind of just paving my spiritual ears. But at the same time, he was freeing you. So, like, I feel like when God does that, I feel like sometimes people, God, they focus on that. He's like, he works on one person, but he's working on both at all times. As the word says, it's a double-edged sword, you know? So it's going both ways. And it was just, that for me was refreshing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we have a lot of those fake conversations. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those are conversations where it's like, God's good.
There's like no substance to it. There's no depth.
Right.
It's just very surface.
I'm such an advocate for real conversations.
Yes.
Like, I just believe that you making me waste the breath in my lungs about something that you're not going through. Because, again, it's not so much that... I guess people have different ways of venting.
Yes.
But for me, it's like, if you just keep it real from the beginning, we can have real conversations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can have this and we can make it flow and... But, yeah, again, that's why I love talking to him. It's been so special seeing him grow, seeing him go through what he's been through. So, Frank, I know you've been through a lot this year. If we're going to get exact, it's been 11 months. I know on Thanksgiving will be a full year. But tell us right now, man, what have you gone through? What's been your life like ever since this whole year went by? And just everything.
So this year has been very, very difficult for me. I know Kenny knows more or less the story and what's been going on in my life. Normally, to be honest, I don't really share this much. But like me and Kenny were saying, I do believe that there's some people out there that even if you might not, you might not be going through the exact same thing I'm going through, I'm sure we might handle things the same way or feel, you know, similar things. But
that's
basically,
a blessing, guys. So you guys are listening to that. You guys really understand that this is something that he wants to share from his heart, and he feels sometimes it has to be, again, like we said before, just spirit led. So if you're listening, I hope you guys let this word edify you and this testimony kind of impact you.
So I'll start from the beginning when I heard all the news. My dad, he came up to me one day, and I knew there was something going on because I started noticing that he was acting very strange. Mm. He was kind of being more to himself. He was losing a lot of weight, but it was to the point where it was almost scary. I would walk into his bedroom and it would smell like a hospital. Like
so
someone
like a tangible
was
difference.
Dying.
Like it was
And he sat me down one day, me and my sister with my mom. My mom already knew what was going on. But basically, he was explaining to us that years ago, I'm not going to give you guys the full details, but basically years ago, he was working with his boss for a hospital, for a psychiatric hospital. And that boss of his ended up opening other hospitals. There was a lot of illegal things that he did, and basically he threw my dad's name out there. So the FBI got involved, and the FBI decided to take my dad. They put him in prison, and they're using him as a witness for other cases. They also did say that, you know, he did some things, some of the things he did do, other things he didn't do, but for the sake of reducing his sentence, he said that he did do it. Either way, right now, my dad has been gone for 11 months, and to be honest, I really don't know if I'm going to see him for maybe another year or two. It's tough. It's been tough on me,
on my mom. How was that breaking news for you, like, when they finally kicked in, like, the
whole,
like...
When he first told me that, if I could be dead honest with you, when he first told me, I told my dad, I wish you would have told me sooner, because I told him, the stress that you've been putting me and my sister through, we thought he was dying. He lost so much weight. He was so pale.
He was just like, this was like a thing of like, it was killing him inside.
It was
like
killing him. He was so afraid to tell us. And I told my dad immediately I had to turn off my feelings, my, you know, my anger, my emotions. And I had to get into that mode of, I need to be there for my dad.
Right.
I need to bless this
man.
I
was just
going to
say that
him.
Because I don't think you ever told me this kind of like perspective of the story.
Yes.
And I was thinking, like, as you were kind of drawing that up, like, I was just like, imagine how your dad felt. The provider of the house.
Yes.
The man of the house. I mean, we can go into the whole macho thing, but like, think about it. It was probably something eating him alive right there that he never wanted to tell his kids. Almost like if he had his choice, he would have done it, served his time, and never even told you.
And it was so crazy because my whole life growing up, my dad would be in charge of everything. He wouldn't let me or my sister raise a finger because his way of showing love to us was
providing, protecting.
Providing, protecting, serving, doing everything he could do for us. So it got to the point where he had to let go of everything and trust that he raised me and my sister right. And that's what I spoke to my dad about. I told him, I'm like, listen, Dad, first of all, I need you to be healthy. I need you to eat right, get yourself in order. If you go to prison, who cares? I told him, what's the worst that can happen? We'll take care of the house. We'll take care of these things. I told my dad, you raised us right. If you're gone, we'll take care of these things. I told my dad, I need you around. When you get out, I want you to be there. When I get married, when I have kids, like, I need you there. I need you present. And I told him, I'm only going to ask you for two things. I said to him, I'm like, one, I need you healthy. Two, I need you to push yourself in your relationship with God. Because I told my dad, I'm like, the only thing that's going to get you through it is maintaining your hope, reading Bible verses. Because I understand that when you're locked up in a prison, and even some of us, you might not physically go to prison, but you might be in a cave that you're in. And when you're locked up in that cave, in that prison that we sometimes go into, it gets very... the pastor just walked in. Hey, pastor.
Yes. Hi, Dad.
But basically, your mind takes you to really, really dark places. And I know that. And so I told my dad, please, you know, keep yourself full of hope. You know that God is with you. And, you know, speaking to him now, that's really, really helped him. If anything, his relationship with God has gotten a lot better. But at the time, it was really tough. It was really scary. But my dad was so happy in right. how me and my sister handled it that he hugged us. He was crying. And he wanted to go out that night to celebrate
right.
that he was able to tell us. Wow. And so the day came when he had to go to court. Mm. And at first, my whole family was going to go with me. And then things happened, and it was just me and him alone. So I had to watch my dad go. I had to be the one to tell my mom. I had to be the one to tell my sister. That was probably the most difficult thing I've ever gone through in my entire life to see my mom that broken. But again, it got to the point where I just had to be there for them. I kind of put myself on neutral mode where I was there for everybody.
Yep.
And it got to the point where I kind of turned off my emotion. It was a little scary for me because I'm like, Frank,
it's all new to you.
You're not feeling anything. You're not showing any emotions. You're not crying until one day I got with your cousin, my best friend, James Orjuela. And I told James, I'm like, this is how I'm feeling. And then I broke and I sobbed. We prayed. And all of those feelings, all of those emotions that we sometimes carry around, we need to give it to God.
Right.
Not only for our spiritual well-being, but for our physical well-being, because the stress does affect you. And I'm still getting over some back pain that I went through. Mm. But all of it was just through stress.
Kind of falls on top of
it. Not lack of sleeping for all the thoughts that come into your head.
Right.
So really, prayer and, you know, remaining close to God, remaining close to his heart, understanding that he is a father is really the only thing that's gotten me through it. And I did mention to you that in the middle of this whole darkness and craziness that's going on in my life, if I tell you guys everything that's going on, this is a movie. But one thing that I will say is I honestly can say now that I really, really do love my dad. And the reason why that means so much is because before this happened,
that's what I want to get into.
I couldn't say that.
Yeah.
Me and my dad did not have a great relationship at all.
That's what I feel like the listeners right now are going to get into, because it's like you mentioned a lot about what you're going through, and even the request you had for him about like getting closer to God and be healthy, you know.
He was in shock when I told him that, Dad, I want you to be healthy so you could be there when I have a kid, and stuff. Because he thought I didn't want him around.
And that's the funny part. So I want to kind of turn the whole conversation now to, you know, in the moment, obviously, I feel like God also used it to kind of bring you guys closer to kind of, and also foresee a great father-son relationship, you know. But how was it before that? Like, what were the conditions before that?
Well, the way for all of this to make sense is when I was really, really young, my dad had a bit of an anger issue. Mm. And when I was really young, we were swimming in the pool together. I believe it was for my birthday. And what happened? Okay. We were swimming. He got angry and frustrated. He was never a violent man, but I guess that day he was just so angry. He didn't really realize the strength that he had.
Mm.
And he, while we were swimming, he grabbed my head and launched me to the bottom of the pool. And at the time, I was like maybe 6, and the pool was 7 feet deep.
Oh, my goodness.
And I could barely swim.
That's like an ocean at that age.
So, like, yeah, you're not young. And I tried swimming to the top, and my eyes were closed. So I ended up swimming underneath my dad. And then he put his foot on my face, and then he kicked. Because, of course, he's trying to swim whatever I'm underneath him, so logically. But he kicked my face. Then my face hit the floor. And so I'm trying to swim again up to the surface. By that time, I didn't feel any strength. I literally felt the air leaving my body.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I felt these two giant hands grip my waist and launch me to the top. When I turned around to see who was the one that grabbed me, no one was there. I do believe that was God. And then I got out of the pool. Of course, I was traumatized. I was in shock.
I don't even think it's upset at that point. You were traumatized. Yeah.
I went to my room. I cried. And then my dad went to his room. He knew he messed up. So I went into his room, and my dad was begging me for forgiveness. And for so many years, my dad tried to make it up to me. And I guess it just got to the point where he thought I really didn't love him anymore. Wow. And I kind of didn't. I it got to that point. I remember right after it happened, like I said, I went up to my dad. He was trying to apologize. And me as a little kid, I'll never forget that I told him these words. I said, you are my dad, but I will never love you like a dad. Oh, wow. And I told him, you mean nothing to me. And I kept saying that over and over again. I feel nothing. I feel nothing. I feel nothing. And then what ended up happening was I felt nothing. Wow. I couldn't love
like
people.
You kind of spoke it into existence and then it became who you are.
I didn't feel any love. I became very cold-hearted. Hmm. It got to the point where if my mom or dad would tell me that they love me, my response was, you have to, because the Bible says you have to.
Wow.
I didn't believe in love. I thought love was something that, I don't know. I felt like humanity lost the value of the word love.
It was mythical at this point.
I would go into church. People that barely know me, oh, hey, Brother Frank, I love you. Yeah. And I would straight up tell, I'm like, you don't know me.
Right.
Like, how do you love me? Right. It even got to the point where I really didn't understand God's love.
Hmm.
But of course, our carnal minds, we can't really understand God's love. It's just something that by faith, we just got to receive it and just be filled with it. His love is the only word I could use to describe it is supernatural. The only way that you can understand it is read your word and, you know, let the love of God touch you. But that's, you know, something else. Either way, I grew up, I was very cold-hearted, didn't believe in love. Mm. It got to the point when I was a teenager, I thought I liked men and women. Wow. I never...
Like that much of confusion.
Yeah.
It drove you to the brink of even like...
I never did anything with any man or any woman, but it just got to the point where I was drawn to anyone that was willing to give me any type of affection. Oh, because, I forgot to say this, but growing up, I stopped hugging everyone. I stopped hugging my parents. Wow. It got to the point where I know exactly how many times I would get a hug. It was probably less than 10 times in a year because it only happened on holidays or on birthdays for the sake of a photo. Hmm. That's the only time I would ever allow myself to be hugged by my family members.
It was still feel fake. It was still feel like
it was super fake. I would tap them. All right, yeah, get off. And it got to that point, and then I remember when I was in high school, when all that stuff was going on, I was physically abused. There were so many things that went on. Wow. Long story short, you guys, I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you already, but as all of this was going on, I was still in church.
Wow.
I became a pro in coming into church, faking my smile, putting on my best Sunday suit on, jumping up when the pastor said, you know, praise God. I knew how to do all of that. I knew about God. I knew, you know, how to praise, how to worship. I knew how to pray for people. You know, I knew how to make the presence of God come down and for all these incredible things to happen. But at the end of the day, it was just me knowing of God. It was me, you know, being used by God for the sake of his people. But I really didn't have a deep, genuine relationship with God as my father. And that's why it makes so much sense to me, that Bible verse, that unfortunately there will be a day where people will come up to God and they will say, I did this for you and I prophesied and I healed the sick and I did all this in your name. And it's going to break God's heart to say it, but I didn't know you. And that's when I understood there's a difference between knowing about God, hearing about him in the church and the Bible verses and all these things, knowing about him and really knowing him intimately. And that's where God confronted me, because for years I would try to deal with everything that I was walking with on my own. All those... that baggage that I had, the baggage of the pain, the depression, the rejection, all these things, I just kind of buried it deep in my heart. And the thing is, when we don't deal with those things, it causes a root in our hearts, and it goes from sadness to depression to being suicidal.
Exactly.
To, and that's where I was.
Like that vicious app, like that slope that just keeps going down.
I had to forgive so many people, and also someone that a lot of people forget to forgive is I needed to forgive myself. For the decisions I made, all that guilt. And then basically one day I was reading a book from Joe Naughton. It's called 30 Day Detox, and it teaches you how to pray with the Spirit of Truth, which is just another name for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, is the person of God. He's the person here on earth. Our Heavenly Father is in heaven with Jesus Christ. And here on earth, there's someone very, very important. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he is our comforter. He is our guide. He's the one that heals us. He's a person. Right. And that's how
many
I treat
names,
him.
But one sole purpose.
Yeah. And that's the person that really helped me in all this. I learned to pray with him, for him to go into the deepest parts of my heart, show me all the things that I was carrying around that was affecting me. And he ended up, with his loving hand, he was able to remind me of it. I was able to accept it and remove it.
You know, Frank, actually, it's pretty cool. You spoke about a topic that I didn't even think we get into at this point today, but I feel like it's so important. And like I said in the beginning, spirit-led conversations. God will take you to scenarios where maybe someone is going through this. And I do believe this. A lot of people believe in God, but it's a whole different thing to believe God. You know, it's like we have the whole thing where we go to church, we can say we have religion. Like you said something so powerful. You said, I would still go out there, I would still pray for people, because your ministry, he goes to King Jesus Ministry in Miami, and yes. I am very familiar with his apostle. His apostle actually was one of the people who, just when I first came to back to God and back and returned back to ministry work, and I came, you know, had the whole prodigal son moment. You know, I bought his books, I read his stuff, I watched his teachings and preachings. I went to his church like 4 times. As a matter of fact, I received my physical healing in his ministry, in his church. And, you know, what you said, something that you can go through all these trainings and teachings and seminars, and you can flow in these things. Mm-hmm. Because the fact of the matter is, the word does say that you're born with gifts, and those gifts and callings are irrevocable. So you can use them. If you're in the office of prophecy or intercession or prayer, you can use them.
And not only that, if God could use a donkey,
he can use
you.
Exactly.
But he does it for the sake of the person. Sometimes we feel so good about ourselves. And really, it's him just trying to reach the person that you're talking to. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you're the only one available, so of course God is
going to
use
you. And I feel like what happens is sometimes when we're in that area, when we're in that church and we're praying for people, we feel good, right? But what happens when we go home? Mm-hmm. We kind of confront that other ugly side, the side of maybe pornography addiction or drug addiction or movie or Netflix or social media addiction. And to the point where it's like now you're in this gray area, where the word actually calls it the lukewarm area, where it's like you love God on Sundays, but on Saturdays you're a clubhead, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it gets to the point, where it's like, you know, so what is love?
Yeah.
And that's what, so I actually released a word on our Crave night that we had this past Saturday over somebody. And the word was that the enemy is using confusion to distract you from your promise. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's trying to distort what you're seeing and what you're feeling. And see, sometimes we believe like, you know, what I see, it scares me. But the enemy also wants to strike fear into your emotions. So what happened with you, he took a traumatizing moment when you were 6 years old and almost made you hate everything that had to do with love. Mm-hmm. As ironic as you know, as it sounds, he tried to use everything so you can hate what God made for you, but God had a great plan for your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's leading into what we're saying. But I just want to have that little side note, because I do feel like some people right now are in churches and they're doing the right thing. They're listening to their leader and how they teach him. You're listening to their pastor on how to instruct, to evangelize, and to what's the whole fourth thing? You bring them in, you teach them, disciple them, and you get,
you affirm them, equip, pastor them, take care of them,
and then you send them out, you know? And I feel like a lot of people are good at that, but where's the inner healing? Where was the encounter with the Spirit? And this is a big with me, because guys, I was in church for 15 years from 1 to 15, and I left because of this. I was in church, I saw the manifestations, the miracles and everything, but I left. But then at 25, that's when I had my encounter, and that's where I realized I just met the Spirit of God, who is love. Love in every single form of the way, you know, love and his agape love, which is unconditional love. And that's what changed my mind. So if you're at church right now and you're struggling with those things, know something. God wants to get to know you more and have a relationship with you. So sorry, Frank, you keep going.
No. So that was pretty much it. God, you know, confronted me and he taught me how to see him more than a Lord, a savior, a healer, a deliverer. You know, all those things are wonderful and those are tremendous characteristics of God, but the Bible says that Jesus came to earth to reveal him as Abba Father, which means you know, Daddy God. He is our Father. We have the privilege and the right to call him our Heavenly Father. And that's how I got to know him. And after I really, really, really understood that and made that a part of my life, everything changed. The way I started thinking slowly changed, because I'm not going to get too deep into this, but basically my heart was healed, but my mind still had to be renewed.
Right.
Because so many times I would see myself as a victim, or I would just immediately feel like, oh, you know, I'm probably going to be down this month, because it just got to the point where I was so used to cycles of depression that it got to the point where I would kind of almost expect it around the holidays. I would just be sad, or around my birthday, I would just be sad, just because that's how it always been. So that's how it's going to be. So it got to the point where God had to teach me, one, my mind is a territory. And if your mind isn't full of God, his words, his promises, goodness, hope,
by somebody else,
then it's occupied by somebody else, something else. So it's very important for not only for us to check our hearts, but to also see what's really going on in our mind. What are our thought processes, and how to renew it? The only way to renew it, the word says, is by the word of God. And
no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but to be renewed in your mind.
I wanted to quote it correctly, but you know, and it's so, so, so important. And after I was able to do all that and finally understand I am a son of God, everything started changing. And again, of course, my relationship with my dad, it did get better. I was able to understand him a little bit better, even though he had his habits that I didn't like, his sense of humor that sometimes gets on my nerve, or like little things like that. I was able to really understand him and really look at him with God's eyes, with eyes of love. And even though my relationship with him isn't like really the father-son type thing, because I have to remember, my dad had an awful relationship with his dad. He didn't ever know how to be a dad. He kind of really had no chance.
It was like
all he wanted was to be my friend. So right now, that's what we are. But as this whole thing was going on, this whole thing of him being sent to prison, my relationship with him has completely changed. He sees himself more as a dad. I see him more like a dad. We're closer. We're more like friends. And we genuinely do love each other. He always loved me, but now I can say I love him. And he understands that now. He could actually receive it. And to be honest, while my dad is in prison, I don't think I ever told you this, Kenny, but my dad is preaching over there.
That's amazing.
He's helping people that are battling with depression, because people end up going into prison and immediately they get suicidal. He was telling me, because their family leaves them, the kids leave him.
Your wife, if you're married, your girlfriend, whatever it is, they leave you. It's the dog, if it's the parent, everyone is changed.
And that really, God is the only hope that we have. And even if you're not going through this, we're living in times that things are getting tough, you know. But the only thing that we have to really keep us is God. And he's the one that guides us, you know, fills up with hopes and with hope, and has a whole purpose and destiny for all of us.
It's so weird, because throughout this process, you have to understand, guys, I'm trying to encourage Frank the whole time, but
Kenny really has been there.
Literally once a month, I'm like, all right, Frank alert. You know, I have a Frank warning. I'm like, I got to go send a message, an encouraging voice note. If you have one of my voice notes, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But what's crazy about that was that there was a certain thing. It's almost like it's a certain point I couldn't cross because I wasn't experiencing it. So I had to literally pray about it. I'm like, Lord, give me what he's feeling so I can pray and help him break it. You know, and there was a point where I wanted to give him this advice, but I knew that he wouldn't take it that way. But I'm so happy he shared it. I was like, God has a tremendous plan, even to the point where negative things come to the surface, but in the end, his dad could end up preaching in the jail cell. I'm like, how can I possibly say it so delicately to Frank? But, you know, it was something that I'm like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to intercede and just pray it's going to happen. If it happens, it happens, you know, because, again, guys, mind you, this is something, isn't something like, you know, like, oh, yeah, my dad's going away for a week. No, this is something that's very, very serious, you know. So I was like, Lord, I know he can do good because you are a good God and you always form good. Whatever is given to you, you make it for the good. So I'm so happy to hear that your dad's doing that, man.
Yeah. No, and it's true. If you gave me that advice, I would have probably been like, Kenny, just...
Shut up.
Yeah, just leave me alone.
I don't want to hear your religious jargon.
When people, you know, when I was going through so much stuff, I know it was seasonal. And of course, all of this will eventually pass. But Kenny was trying to give me that advice, and I was just like, I don't want to hear. I know God is good. I know whatever. He has a plan. I don't get what the plan is right now. I don't see it. I don't get it. I think this is unfair. But Kenny did the best thing that any good friend can do, which is, one, just be there. Yeah. Like, if you're going to be there for someone, then actually be there. Give them comfort. You know, be there for them. And more than anything, pray. Because prayer is what changes every single situation. And it was able to bring me to where I am now. It was able to change my mind. It was able to help me understand this situation better. And I know that everything will be fine. Right. So do you...
You know, it's funny because I feel like we're still, like, young, so we consider ourselves a little invincible, so we're like, you know, like, hey, we're not going to be 60 until 90 years from now, right, which is the math isn't that up, but, you know, but it's crazy because we are the future of everything that's going to be, you're going to see in leadership, you know, we're the future, and I mean, yes, I'm focusing more on ministry, but we're the future CEOs of companies, of you know, we're the future of YouTube channels, of podcasts, of clothing, lawyers, doctors, et cetera, you know, and we sometimes get so focused on, like, I'm 25, I'm 26, I'm 30, I'm 29, you know, but, like, God's creating professionals in every part of the industry, which means we're going to have to go through trials so everything else can kind of get better with us, you know?
Yeah.
I think we sometimes take the standpoint where it's like, why is God unfair with me? Mm-hmm. But if you really think about it, let's change the perspective. If God wants to do whatever he wants to do through you, that means no one else can touch you.
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's the potter, we're the clay.
Yeah.
And if he still wants to let anyone, for instance, I always think of the book, the story of Job. It's like that whole thing unfolded without one consultation between God and Job. But what ended in that at the end? When you see when God responds, what ends up happening was Job said, my ears have heard you, but my eyes have seen you now. Mm-hmm. And that's all God wanted. He wanted a relationship. So God's also a God of order too, because now you understand he's your dad.
Yeah.
You're his son. Mm-hmm. And now the order is back. Mm-hmm. And like now you said, not only is it back because the law says so, you were introduced into grace in such a unique way. Because now you're like, I love you because God loves me. And it's weird because dad introduced himself as your dad first, as the heavenly father first, to let you see. Because, Frank, you know this or not, but a lot about me. But I had a hard time accepting my father as my dad. It was like he would be abusive to my mother verbally, and he cheated my mom when I was 2 or 3 years old. And it was crazy because I only saw him as that.
Yeah.
My sister, on the other hand, saw him as Superman. So she was just like, you know, I love him, want him back. But it took a lot of inner healing for me to say, I love you. Even to the point where one day I said, I hope that Brian and Stephanie are yours, but I hope that I'm not yours. Like, mom had some kind of weird affair, you know? To the point where my mind took me to some weird, you know, endings. Yeah. And so it's just like, for everyone listening right now, like, the whole thing, the enemy hates any kind of order. He hates that if a mother and father love each other, husband and wife, and their kids love them and God loves them. He hates that. Like, he literally got kicked out of heaven for not liking that, you know? And I feel like whenever you see disorder and confusion, the enemy's trying to masquerade. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what happens is you unmasked him in this moment. Like, you were able to. Unfortunately, some people let this lead to suicide, to murder, to anything, to addictions, and drinking, prostitution. And I feel like that God caught you and grasped you. He grabbed you for a reason in this moment, so you can do what you're doing right now, Frank. And when you're here, just the way you pray, the way you present yourself, the way your funniness, your humor, all those things led to who you are. And I feel like when your dad gets out of jail, there's going to be an actual, genuine embrace.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like at that point, if you were the way you were before, it would have been like, hey, fake hug time, right?
Yeah.
But now it's like, I'm counting down the days, but it's also good because God was taking these moments to make you understand and him understand. Now that day is going to be like, almost have to record it.
Yeah.
Like, I had it with my dad. My dad went to, he wasn't in jail, but he went to the hospital, and he was very sick to the point of death again we're like, Dad, we're going to lose this guy again. And when he came out of the hospital, when I was born, guys, my dad took me out of the hospital in a limousine, only one out of us three, because I looked just like him. He literally called the limousine company on the dot and said, get me a limo. This kid's coming out of a limo. And God put it on my heart to do the same thing for him when he came out of the hospital. So, you know, I got him a limo, and when he saw it, and I saw it, and I relived it, almost like I felt like I was a newborn at that point. And he was crying in the car, and he said, a 27-year seed finally gave its fruit. It's crazy, right? I almost want to cry right now.
It's crazy.
But, like, that whole moment culminated our father-son relationship.
Yes.
Like, and I feel like you're going to have something similar. Even to the point, bro, I can even encourage you, do something wild for your dad that day. Get him, like, you know, actually, my...
Oh, we're all going to a hotel.
Right, no, it's funny. I got to the point where I was like, Dad, I'm like, should I get an Uber XL? I was getting advice from people. I was going to rent the BMW 7 Series, you know?
Yeah.
But the limousine wouldn't leave, and God wouldn't let me leave that topic. Mm-hmm. And even to the point where I'm like, I saw things, $900, $800, and this company said, we'll give you a limousine for $200 for 6 hours. And I was just like, wow.
Wow.
Like, that's a deal. In New York, you're never going to find that. And that happened 2 hours before I had to pick him up.
Wow.
And my Uncle James, I love you, Theo. He was the one that came in and helped me and even planted a seed in me to make this come to fruition. But I feel the same is going to happen to you. I feel you're going to have such a special moment where, like, maybe you never had before, so it's going to be kind of weird in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because it was kind of like, I haven't hugged my dad so much. Yeah. But, like, I looked into his eyes and I saw that he's like, wow. Like, my son, who had this whole thing, we have this whole rift between us, he's officially my son. I'm officially his dad. And we just broke the enemy's schemes and brought some into life, man. That's awesome.
So, no, I mean, that was my story. I think there's a lot of good stuff in here, guys. But if you want, do you want us to close and I'll make it simple?
Yeah, you know what? I just wanted to give a final I wanted Frank to give his final advice and pray. He's going to release a prayer over you guys. But I wanted to give him an advice because maybe it's not your dad. Maybe it's your uncle, your cousin, your sibling. We don't know. Maybe someone's going through not a prison, but like I went through a hospital. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going through separation. Maybe they were deported. We don't know. We don't know what they're going through. Separation, yeah. The process. But I want Frank to pray because I really feel like someone here today is going to receive, we're not going to call it healing, but peace during the storm. Mm-hmm. And a peace that's not from this world, but a peace given from Christ. So,
and I want to do this prayer wherever you guys are. I don't know if you're listening to this in your car, in your home, or if you're outside just working out and listening to this, which would be kind of funny. But wherever you are right now, just add your faith to this prayer. Listen, yes, to what we're about to say and just unite your faith to our faith right now. And we're believing that God is about to do something in your family. I want you guys to understand how I said before, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So we're going to pray right now that he goes in the deepest parts of your heart, helps make a transformation. And then from there, we'll pray for everything going on around your life so that you can receive every blessing that your Heavenly Father has for you. Yes. So right now, Father God, me, yes, Kenny, Lord, and this person that we have listening to this podcast, Jesus, right now, we all unite in one faith together. Mm, and right now, Spirit of Truth, we give you access to move in the deepest parts of their hearts right now in the mighty name of Jesus, whether it was memories or experiences from the past that they never wanted to look back at, that they never wanted to think about, things that they might have even forgot about. Right now, Holy Spirit, bring it back to their memory.
Yes,
things that define them, things that define the way that they were growing up. And right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare that that power on the cross, that blood that was shed on the cross today is activated. And we declare that those memories, things causing pain or depression or anxiety or bitterness or anger or any type of guilt, whatever it is today, we declare that that blood is activated over their conscience, their subconscious, their heart. And right now, Holy Spirit, with your loving hand, begin to remove every seed that the enemy wanted to try and plant in their hearts. All those doors that they closed years ago that they never wanted to look back at, you go in with those keys and begin to remove everything now. And right now, we declare that there is a grace that's being released over this person's life so that they can forgive others and forgive themselves for everything that was going on, every decision that was made. Right now, Holy Spirit, before you, we receive that forgiveness from our Heavenly Father for any decisions that we might have made in the past. We receive grace to be able to accelerate, to excel, to reach our purposes, to reach our callings. And we receive right now, Holy Spirit, that acceleration, that blessings that you have for us right now, Father God. And we declare right now, if there's a separation or whatever type of situation that they're going through, you, our Heavenly Father, knows exactly what's going on. Right now, we send the order, we send the declaration now, and we send angels to begin to move on our behalfs. We declare unity in our families, that no devil, no thought, no plan, nothing can separate our families. We declare that there is a supernatural love and a peace that is filling our families right now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Father God. There's so many people that sometimes worry about finances and how are these things going to happen and where is it going to come from. We declare that divine connections open on your behalf, people that will bless you, ideas that God is going to put in your head to excel, to be a blessing not only for yourself, but for the people around you, your family, your friends. We declare that right now, dreams that God put in your heart are being awakened, and we declare like never before, you will feel such a strength, such a passion and a boldness to feel, to fulfill the work of God. And God will bless you. He will back you up. You are his son, you are his daughter, and the hand of God is over your life right now. So get ready for encounters with God. Get ready to have the best intimate moments, the best praise moments, the best worship moments, the best intercession moments that you've ever had with God. Father God, we bless this person listening right now. We bless their home, their family, their bloodline, their church right now, their mind, their heart. We bless them, and we thank you so much, God, for their lives. We thank you for every single person listening. It really, really means a lot to us. And thank you so much again for being a part of this. Thank you again, Kenny. It really means a lot.
Amen. Wow. Thank you for that, Frank, and for everyone out there was impacted by that. You guys can see so much more of Frank on his YouTube channel. Again, a Frank Exchange, and again, it's funny, it's edifying, it has everything. It's a bit of everything on there, you know?
Or you can also just, if you want, to go directly to my Instagram. My Instagram is also my name. It's Frank Palacios Jr., J-R. And you guys could check me out. Let me know if you guys heard this, what you guys think. You can slide into the DMs. You can go on my comments on my YouTube channel. Let me know what you guys think. We want to know what you guys, if you felt anything, if this helped you, let us know your stories. Because believe it or not, when you interact with us, it's extremely encouraging.
Yes.
And we love it. We love making those connections with you guys. So again, thank you so much. If there's someone that you know that might need to hear this, because they might be going through something, or they might be dealing with that separation, or just trying to figure out a way on how to handle the situation that they're in right now, send this to them. Maybe it'll bless them. And again, thank you guys so much.
Frank, we love you, man. Thank you so much. You're always welcome to come back here to New York. Again, guys, please check out the YouTube, our episode that we just recorded right before all this. So we have this podcast. We have the channel that's going to be going up.
You guys want to laugh?
Yes. If you want to laugh over there, check it out. You'll see much more of our personalities, including Matthew as well, too. But we love you guys so much. God bless you. Hope everyone has a good day. And I hope this whole entire episode edified you. And like Frank said, please, if it did something to your life, share your testimony, share your story, because there's many people in the world that have to hear something that you're going through, and we believe your freedom has come to you. So we love you guys, and have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.